When in a dream the fire at the end of the universe blazes, I feel terrified by the heat, though it has no intrinsic reality. Likewise, although hell realms and its likes are devoid of intrinsic reality, out of trepidation for being smelted, burnt, and so forth, I'll forsake evil. Okay, so similarly, when we have a nightmare, we might be dreaming that there's this huge, you know, conflagration, and we're terrified by the heat, you know, and we wake up in a sweat. There's no fire there. It was just a dream. Okay? But even though there was no fire there, there was an appearance of fire to our mind, and it caused fear, and it caused a, you know, physiological reaction, even though there was nothing there. Yeah? So similarly, although hell realms and the likes, the other lower realms, are devoid of any kind of intrinsic reality, they don't inherently exist. When you analyze, you can't find the hell realms, you can't find animals, you can't find hungry ghosts. Okay, so they don't have any solid inherent existence. Yeah, still, because cause and effect functions and things exist on the level of appearances, and causes bring result, out of trepidation for being smelt, burnt, and so on, I'll forsake evil. Okay. When in a feverish delirium, although there is no darkness at all, one feels as if plunged and trapped inside a deep, dark cave. So too, although ignorance and so on lack intrinsic reality, I shall dispel the delusion by means of the three insights. So when we're sick with a fever, we're in a delirium, we might be in a very bright room, but in our mind, we feel like we're plunged and trapped in a very dark cave because of the delirium, you know, because of being in a fever. Yeah? So it's a totally false appearance, isn't it? The false appearance exists, but the darkness that is appearing doesn't. So too, although ignorance and so on, ignorance, anger, attachment, suffering, yeah, anger, poor me, yeah, low self-esteem, yeah, while all these things lack intrinsic existence, yeah, still on a conventional level they exist, but because they're empty and lack intrinsic existence, because they arise due to their causes and conditions, because those causes and conditions can be eliminated, therefore, the ignorance, the suffering, the samsara can be stopped. How do we eliminate the causes and conditions, the afflictions, you know, that cause the samsara? By means of the three insights, or the three kinds of wisdom. So it's the wisdom of hearing, of thinking, and of meditating. So first we hear teachings. So here, it means not only orally hear like this, but reading in a book, studying, learning, the wisdom that we derive from learning. So that wisdom is a first level, you know. We're learning, we're understanding the words and concepts. Then we have to go to the second level where we think about it. We think about what we've learned. We apply it to our life. We debate it. We discuss it. We look at it logically. We relate it to our experience. We begin to internalize it more and think about it until we get a really correct understanding of it. That's the wisdom that arises from thinking or reflecting. Then, when we have, you know, absolutely correct understanding of it, we really put it in practice through single-pointed concentration, unified with this investigative mind of probing awareness, of analytical wisdom, you know, unified with single-pointed concentration. And that's the union of Vipassana and Shamatha. And that brings about, you know, the wisdom that arises from meditation, which, you know, eventually becomes direct perception of emptiness. Okay, so so ignorance can be opposed by cultivating these three wisdoms. Yeah, even though ignorance can be opposed because it doesn't inherently exist. Okay, because it rests on an entirely false foundation of grasping at things in a way that they don't exist. Okay, when a musician plays a song of ecstasy, if probed, there is no intrinsic reality to the sound. Yet melodious tunes arise through aggregation of unprobed facts and soothes the anguish that lies in people's hearts. Likewise, when karma and its effects are thoroughly analyzed, although they do not exist as intrinsically one or different, like apparitions, they affect the risings and cessations of phenomena. Seemingly real, one experiences joy and pain of every kind. So within this mere appearance, I'll follow the norms of ethics. Okay? So when a musician plays a melody, okay, if we probe, if we examine, there's no real melody there, is there? There's just a bunch of notes. Yeah? Just plain notes, just different notes. Yeah? And all those notes arose due to, you know, if it's a lute, you know, due to the wood, you know, of the instrument, the person who's playing it, the breath, you know, which holes that you happen to have blocked on your lute. You know, if you're playing a stringed instrument, the material, you know, the violin, the wood of the violin, the strings, the person who's playing it, where you put your fingers on the strings. Okay? So, if you probe and you look for this beautiful melody, you know, you can't find it anywhere. There's a bunch of notes. And even the notes, if you probe and look for them, you see that they arise dependently also. Yeah, there's no note inside the wood or the string or the lute or anything. You know, it's just an appearance that arises out of causes and conditions. Yet still, the melodious tune, through the aggregation of all these unprobed facts, in other words, all these notes that are not looked, when we're not analyzing, when we see things all together, then it appears like a melody, and it can gladden one's heart and relieve anguish by listening to a beautiful melody, even though there's no inherently existent melody there. Okay? So because the melody arises dependently, it can function. If there were an inherently existent melody there, it would never change. Okay? In fact, you couldn't even go from one note to the next because nothing could change because it had its own essence. It's had its own essence. It doesn't depend on causes and conditions. So the note would always be there. Or like one of those birthday candles that plays happy birthday ad nauseum again and again and again. Okay? But thank goodness they end. One time it was so funny. It was a few years ago. We were in Wisconsin, and Geshe Zopa had just been teaching Lama Tsongkhapa's text, Lam Rim Chenmo. And at the end, you know, at the end of the teachings every year, we offer Geshe Zopa a long life puja. And so we do a soak offering, and, you know, we get a very large cake and decorate it, and, you know, and then people stand up while everybody chants, and, you know, we imagine it as blissful wisdom nectar, and we offer it to Geshe La, and, you know, request him to live long. So Tibetans have very interesting things in the West that they like, that they're attracted to. Okay? You know, kind of a completely different, their taste is very different than ours. So Zopa Rinpoche wanted on top of this cake one of those birthday candles that had a little battery that sang happy birthday again. So when we're standing up to offer this, we light the candle, we're trying to chant the offering verse over happy birthday in the background. And then, you know, we lay it on the table next to Geshe La, and they passed out all the offerings. The room is silent, and this melody is playing again and again. Happy birthday again and again and again. Yeah. So, if it inherently existed, I almost believed in inherent existence at that time. Something could never change, you know. But because things change, it indicates that they don't have a permanent essence. Because they don't have an essence, because they arise dependently, they can change. So the music did stop. Okay? But similarly, although cause and effects are thoroughly analyzed, okay, they do not exist intrinsically as one or different. And this leads to a whole other kind of analysis, which I won't, you know, it's the analysis of, you know, are things one with their parts or different from their parts? So what's how I was asking yesterday, you know, a little bit about the, you know, the chocolate cake and its attributes, or the car and its parts. Okay. So like apparitions, they affect the risings and cessations of phenomena. Okay? So causes and conditions, karma and its effects, all these things function. They affect when things arise and when they cease. Okay? Seemingly real, one experiences joy and pain of every kind. So we experience joy and pain even though joy and pain don't inherently exist. We experience them. You know, so your suffering doesn't inherently exist, your happiness doesn't inherently exist. Okay? So with it, but still, although these things are empty, they arise dependently and they function. So it says, so within this mere appearance, I'll follow the norms of ethics.